Lekker. Good. If you're new to the church, welcome. We are almost finished our series on Ephesians, but I'm talking about parenting today. But before I get into the word, I'm going to tell some jokes. Is that okay? Do you know what a paradox is? It's like when you hear something, you think, no, that's ridiculous. But then when you think about it, you think, hang on, but there's some truth in it. The paradox about parenting is that you as the parent actually control the money. You're bigger than the little toddler or baby. You're stronger. You're smarter. Yet somehow you're the one who ends up doing exactly what you're told. You can tell who the parents are. They're the ones who laugh and joke straight away. The rest of you are like, Parenting, the only job where you do all the cooking and cleaning for a tiny human who eventually cries that you give them exactly what they asked for. You with me? Some of you look a bit dazed. Was it that bad? The easiest way to get your kids to eat something is to tell them that it's yours. You know, we sell iced coffee here. I don't know if you like iced coffee in the winter, but parents love iced coffee. Here's how it works. You have kids. You make coffee. You forget where it is. Then you find it. You put it in the microwave. You warm it up, and then you forget it's there. Eventually, you drink iced coffee. Your first child drops the dummy in the dirt. You get out the cleansers and the hygiene stuff. You sterilize it. You do everything you can. The second kid drops it in the dirt, and you shove it back. The third child drops their dummy in the dirt, and together with the dog, they eat the dirt. And as a parent, you eventually say, cool, I don't need to feed them lunch. I've tried to childproof my house, but they keep getting in. The topic of my sermon today is children matter to God. You good with that? We're going to get into the word. Genesis 1 verse 27 and 28. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. Some of you were the ones who laughed first, have probably had children already. Some of you are expecting children. Well done. Congratulations. Maybe you're a little bit nervous, a little bit unsure. Why are these people laughing like this? And I realize that there's some here this morning that may be currently unable to have biological children of your own. Maybe you've adopted. Congratulations. Well done if you have. For some, maybe you're still trusting, and we'd like to make space to pray together with you if you are trusting to have children of your own. It's a God-given gift. But I want to focus on these words, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply, double question mark. What does that mean? Do you know that those were the first words that God spoke to humanity? These are the first words that God spoke to human beings. He said, be fruitful and multiply. And I've begun to understand, I'm not a theologian, I'm not the expert on this, but this is what I began to understand, is that God's original way, and it has unchanged, by the way, is that you and I first be fruitful, and then the multiplication happens. So you cannot multiply if you're not fruitful. And so God is very concerned with you and me, the individual. This is personal. The fruitfulness is from my life. I can't do something to produce fruit in your life. Only you can be fruitful in your own life. And so God is very concerned about you being fruitful before the multiplication bit. We're talking about parenting today, and I'm going to bring it, land it, and get it into place. And so what does it mean to multiply fruit into others? That's essentially what God is saying. I'm asking you to multiply fruitfulness from your life into others. That's God's plan. That is God's nature. Everything about Jesus' life was doing that, was multiplying fruitfulness. He was fruitful in every single way. And he came and he began to invest his fruitfulness into others because he was fruitful. He didn't just magic wand Easter weekend, in and out, and I'm gone. He lived among people. He got to know them. and he was fruitful and he multiplied. And so in your DNA, whether you agree with this, whether you can acknowledge it or not, it's true, is that in your DNA and my DNA is the multiplication of God's image. That's what we're multiplying, remember? In the image of God, he created them, male and female. So what are we multiplying? The image of God. And so God's saying, be fruitful with the image. And another word to describe this would be the glory of God. We originally possessed the glory of God in the Garden of Eden before we ate the forbidden fruit. And so there is this image bearing, this bearing the glory of God, fruitfulness from my life that bears testimony, that bears fruitfulness about the image of God. When people looked at humans, they would see something of the image of God in them. In them. And then God said, go multiply that into others. But there comes the little, you know, Hadrian says it was a tomato. No one knows what it was. Was it an apple? It was forbidden. The one thing God says, don't eat of this, we ate of it. Why? Because we believed the lie. And so you and I, we have this tendency to make choices of our own that think are better for us, but they're not. You've got to understand this. Is the devil's first words to humanity was doubt. He says, did God really say? But then he says, no, you won't die. You're going to be like God. And Eve's ears and her eyes pricked up and thought, I want to be like God, but I'm going to do it my way. And God had an original way that we would be like God and display his glory and be fruitful and his image would be evident in our lives, but we chose to do it our own way. And in our nature, because of that day, in our nature, we have that same tendency. To believe, first of all, to doubt and then to believe the lie. I want to be like God. Anything that's not Jesus is an idol. And we begin to worship it, including your children. And so God's way is always to help us become who he originally created us to be. Can I just say that? That is the definition of discipleship. Jesus says, go make disciples. Discipleship is about God working in my life, helping me to become the original person that I was meant to be. Not to be perfect. Not to be perfect. In fact, contrary to that is the more I can actually talk about my imperfections and remove the masks of religiousness and trying to be the good person that impresses the pastor or impresses God is absolute rubbish. Actually, the more I can realize my imperfections, the more God's glory begins to shine through. That's the truth of the gospel. And so we reproduce what you're becoming. You will reproduce what you are. If you have flu, your children will catch flu, not chicken pox. What you have, they will catch, and the people around you. And so this is the very thing that God wants us to be aware of, is he wants to bring us back to this place of displaying his glory and his goodness. I'm not really a card player, you know, but here's what life is going to do for every single one of us. Going to deal you a couple of cards. You know how they do it? I don't know what game it is, but there it is. And maybe there's someone over here. There it is. You get, oops, don't. Life is going to deal, life has dealt you a bunch of cards. You don't get to choose those cards. But the way that you view God and the way that you observe and see and allow God to work in your life will determine how you deal with those cards. That some of those cards, you know, there might be some good cards in there, and they represent maybe success and some comfort and some blessing. But some of these cards also represent some hardship and some challenges. You don't get to choose which cards you get dealt with. But you can choose how you view God and how you allow him to work in your life that will determine how you deal with the cards that you've been dealt with. Now, parents, I want to speak to you because you've been dealt cards. And we tend to think parenting is about telling our children what to do and what not to do. Whereas just go back to what I told you about what God says. He wants you to be fruitful. The way that you deal with these cards, your children are watching you. And when God says multiply, he says the way that you deal with the cards that you've been dealt in life through your relationship with God, not being perfect, But talking about your imperfections and showing your children how you actually have failures and doing things as a parent that your children get to make decisions, because they're going to also make decisions and choices in life. And can I just say this? A child is not born with the ability to make the right choices and decisions. The child needs to be raised up. If he's going to stick his finger in the electric plug, what are you going to do as a parent? Say, you're going to learn a lesson now. What are you going to do? You're going to love that kid by slapping their hand as quickly as you can before they get electrocuted. So I know it's a silly example, but it's the same thing. As if your child understands that that's not a good idea because they've seen mom and dad not do that all the time. I'm being very practical here. I'm going to get a lot deeper. Then they get to know. And they might push the envelope. They might push some boundaries. But they need to learn from you as a parent how you're dealing with the cards of your life, the good times and the bad times. And so often we just think parenting is about trying to raise up compliant children that are just going to grow up to be good citizens. God's got a far bigger picture that he wants us to do as parents, investing into our lives. And so, parenting, if you're not making the right choices and decisions around God and how he's working in your life, don't think that you can tell your children what to do. Because they don't listen to a word you said. Your language, the way you're doing life, is too loud. They're looking at you and saying, but mom and dad, look at this. I don't see. I'm confused. You can say what you like. They're going to do what you do. And so we get to help our children develop decision-making perspectives and patterns that honor God. They don't know how to make decisions that honor God at the moment. They don't know how to make decisions that actually bring God's blessing and the responsibility and the privilege of walking with God. We are to model that. That's what it means to be fruitful, is to model something of what God is doing in me with my children. And so children matter to God. And so we as parents need to be equipped to be able to raise the next generation of Christ followers. Ephesians 6 verse 1, we are on a series through Ephesians, so it's a good idea. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Don't frustrate them. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Just on a quick side note here, or footnote, choo-choo. It doesn't say adults obey your parents. It says children obey your parents. Last week we spoke about marriage. You know, if mother-in-law comes in and starts making her home in your home, it doesn't mean you have to obey her because she's your parent. You know, husbands, you're the head of your home. My mother-in-law, thank you, nice to have you, but this is my home. This is my cupboard. You get what I'm saying? And I think sometimes in some of our cultures, we get a little bit confused around what the difference is between honoring your parents and obeying your parents. Children, obey your parents. Adults, honor your father and mother. If they're telling you to do stuff that is contrary to what God is doing in your life, you say, thank you, mom and dad, I appreciate that, I honor you, but no. Some of us find that a bit difficult. Actually, it's God working in your life. God working in your life. When your little children are growing up, it's them observing what God's doing in your life. Basically, here's the, you know, the circle of life. We are imperfect parents who are raising imperfect children, who become imperfect parents who also raise imperfect children. And on and on and on and on and on. But that does not mean that we need to blame or to live in self-pity. What it means, our response needs to be, God, we need your help. I don't have time to show the statistics. In the Eastern Cape, I think it's like 20% of kids grow up with both parents. It's the lowest in the whole country. I mean, I don't have time. When Paul wrote those things, is this an ideology? Is this a theory? Or how does this actually translate into the reality of life around us? Because guarantee you, some of you here have had imperfect parents. Don't blame. Don't have self-pity. Take responsibility. Ask God for help. That's what we're going to talk about. God actually gives us a completely new foundation for parenting. Do you notice that it says parents in the Lord? What does that mean? I think I've got those words up. Parents in the Lord. What does that mean? That means I, as a parent, need to be parented by the Lord first. If I'm not being parented by God the Father, how can I parent my children? And so parents in the Lord means, first and foremost, I need to be well parented by God Himself. I need to understand what it means to be a child of God. I need to understand what it means to live as a child of God, where Jesus says, call Him Father. He didn't say, hey, listen, call Him Sergeant, call Him Commander, Judge, call Him Headmaster. He says, Father. And so our responsibility is that actually this is not an ideology or philosophy. When Ephesians 1 verse 4, that'll come up on the screen, it says, in love, God predestined you and I for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus, according to the purpose of His will. What does that mean? Is this just a little theory? No, it's not a theory. It's an actual truth. It's reality in God's eyes is He, when He adopts me into His family, He becomes my Father. And so many people don't understand what it means to live as a child of God. Parents, if you can't live as a child of God, you have set yourself up for difficulty to raise up children that are going to follow God. That's the truth. You get what you have. Fruit doesn't lie. And so we become children of God when we adopt it. This is not an ideology, friends. This is reality. As God calls me a son, and I need to live as a son. We're fathered by God. And so I now begin to parent from a completely different foundation. Do you understand that? I'm not parenting because I had good parents. If that's true, it's never going to work because we didn't have good parents. So stop the blame, stop the self-pity, ask God for His help. He gives you a new foundation. He says, Grant, I'm going to father you, and the way I father you, you're going to multiply that. Be fruitful and multiply that into your boys. God is the perfect Father. He's consistent. He's not all over the place. He doesn't say yes today and no tomorrow. He's good. God the Father is gracious. He's merciful. He's faithful. He's forgiving. He's compassionate. He's accepting, He provides, He protects. And so for you and I to be whole, we need to live in the Father's affirmation. We need to live in the constant input of security and affirmation that comes from God the Father. If it's coming from your work, if it's coming from your bank balance, if it's coming from the 10 Steps best-selling New York book, good luck. But God gives us a new foundation in which to parent our children from. By the way, I'm not just talking about biological children here. If for some of you who have never adopted or had children of your own, actually this is a family. And going beyond your four walls of your nuclear household, we get to invest into other children too, who don't have the privileges that we've come to experience. And so God wants you to... He wants you to be a river, not a dam. That's God's nature. He wants to do things in you so that you can release it into others. And the worldly mindset says, no, I've got to keep everything. I've got to hold on to everything because if I let go, I'm going to be worse off. And God says, when you let go, you are better off. That applies to all parts of life. When you begin to talk to your children about your own failures, your children get to grow up in understanding God's nature. Do you get where I'm going with that? And so this needs to move from the head to the heart and needs to become a living reality. And the extent to that you and I allow this transformation to happen, grant the Son of the Father, not the Son of God. God, grant the Son of the Father. When I begin to be transformed from the inside in this relationship, I can begin to multiply and be fruitful with those around me. And so you want to be an effective parent, please don't go and buy that book. Spend time with your Father. It's free, cost you less. Even if you get it on Kindle, this is living relationship. And it's not, I forgot. What were those things that I said? I've got to remember. And by the way, first go and check that author before you go and buy the book. So many guys buy books. Hey, have you heard this guy? Yeah, he's got his fourth marriage now. He's written a book on marriage. Here's what it's going to take for you as a parent. Number one, say sorry. We're getting practical now. Do you know that saying sorry is a gift from God? Yes. Blinking, heck, it's hard. When you know you're right to say sorry anyway. Free. No charge. Free. It brings healing. Not just to your child, but to you. Confess your sins one to another. Say sorry to one another, and you will be healed. So saying sorry is a powerful gift from God. Mark Wimble, you remember Mark Wimble? He'll be here at Equip, by the way, and his wife Justine. But Nicolay asked Steve, his older brother. We knew his dad. They had an extremely difficult upbringing. No more than that. They weren't wealthy. They weren't rich. They had a lot of challenges in their home. All six of their children are serving Jesus, most of them in a full-time capacity, maybe one of them in a part-time capacity, but in ministry, worship leaders, pastors, serving Jesus. Six children in a home that had hardly any money growing up. And Nicolay asked Steve, what is the thing that your parents did that, because now all six children are serving and loving Jesus like this? He thought about it, like Steve Wimble can only do. He said they said sorry. Of all the reasons in the entire universe that the entire family would be serving Jesus, it was because they said sorry. Every time they messed up, they said sorry. Never underestimate the power of an apology. Not, I'm sorry, but. No, that's not an apology. No, I'm sorry for the way. I'm sorry. It's not your fault. It was me. James 4 verse 6 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's humiliating to say sorry in a positive way because it's a sense of surrender that brings victory, that brings healing. So don't oppose God by trying to not ever say sorry. Just humble yourself and say sorry. It's got power. All of us have reacted in anger. We've spanked our children. Say sorry. Dan, I'm sorry for doing that to you many, many years ago where I flicked you around the room and banged your head on the cupboard and you got concussed. The story's grown along the way. Yes, we've all done it. Just say sorry. Second point, be real. Don't be perfect. You know that your children will still thrive despite your flaws and imperfections. This is not an excuse not to deal with some of the things that God wants to, you know, as the son and the father's doing some surgery here. It's like, no, it's okay. I just got to be real, not perfect. No, he is doing some work. You're not off the hook. But just don't strive for perfection because it doesn't exist. And it sucks the daylights and the love and the joy and the laugh out of everything. Just be real. Let your kids observe you dealing with your imperfections. Be vulnerable with your kids. Because when you be vulnerable, you release the power and the grip that shame has. When you're actually able to tell your children things about what you've done wrong, it's just being real and being vulnerable and being transparent with your children. That is worth more than any other investment in your children when they see mom and dad being absolutely authentic. No masks. That's who they are because that's who they are before God. I see my mom and dad's private face when they're in public. That's who they are. And allow God to bring life and joy and freedom in the midst of your imperfections as a family. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul was never a parent, but he is applying this to his ministry. Can you imagine if we applied this as parents? Is actually, I can boast more gladly in my weaknesses because Christ is most glorified. The power of Christ comes when I'm vulnerable and I'm transparent and I allow him to come in and do his work. Don't be perfect. Be real. Number three, look out for where God is working. You know, some of us get so stuck in this parenting thing that we think we're the only ones who are doing it. And we forget that actually God is also doing some work. Yes? Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are God's workmanship. So what God's asking us to do is in this place is to walk under his workmanship. While God is working, look for where he's at work. Instead of trying to be the perfect parent who's getting it all right and doing all the work, actually just take a pause every now and again and observe and look in your own life, where is God working? And begin to speak about that to your children. When you speak about what God is doing in your life to your children, you are exposing them to this very point, is that God is working in me. And it allows a door of opportunity to speak to your children and say, where's God working in your life? Is God working in your life? The more that you and they see you modeling this and observing this in your life, the easier it's going to be for them to actually know how God works in my life and where God is working in their life. And so call it out. As you share about what God's doing in your life, call it out of your children too. God is working in your life. Maybe you see some things and they don't see it yet. And say, hey, Johnny, you know what I've seen? I think God is doing something there. And then they start to think about this. You helping multiply the fruitfulness in their life. Learn to partner with God. That's what he's saying. As I'm under his workmanship, I learn to partner together with him. You know, Johnny, this is what God is doing in my life. This is what I've seen in my life. And then slowly they begin to partner with what God is doing in their life. That's what it means to be a parent. They're going to catch what you have. If you don't have that, they're going to catch something else from school, from the internet, from Claude, from the New York bestseller who's now on his fourth marriage, and they're hoping to get some tips for their marriage. No, you, as a parent. And then finally, number four, don't make your children an idol. Ich, nu kann die Papa dance. When you make anything an ultimate thing, it's an idol. And it wants to own you. And can I just say this, as children, as lovely as they are, as messy as they are, when we begin to pursue success for our children, we want them to be wealthy. We want them to have worldly success. And we pursue this and we make children the center of our universe. Helicopter parent. Ooh, as long as Johnny goes to sport and he's on the first team and as long as he gets that degree and, oh, he's got to pay for this and he goes to that university and gets this degree and ding, 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 ding. Suddenly what was a good thing becomes an ultimate thing and now my life revolves around Johnny. It becomes an idol. That thing will chew you up. It will chew you up, friends. When you make your children an ultimate thing, you actually walk away from the purposes of God for your life. Look what it says there in that Ephesians. I don't think I have this on the screen, but it's that Ephesians. Where is it? Ephesians 1 verse 4 and 5. Connor, if you've got that one, just put it back up there. Whose will? Whose will? The last two words. So God adopted you for sonship according to his will. But now I make it all about my will and Johnny's will. And I no longer walk about with the promises of God and the will of God and the ways of God. No, I'm just chasing after making my children the ultimate thing. Do you see what I mean? So it's like now you walk away from the purposes of God, his will and his ways, and now I make Johnny the ultimate thing. He becomes or she becomes an idol. Worst thing you can do for your children. And so the goal of parenting is not to raise up wealthy, successful citizens. The goal of parenting is not to bring up good children or good, compliant teenagers. It's about raising mothers and fathers. The goal of parenting is to raise up mothers and fathers. I mean, we've mature manhood so that you may no longer be infants. We've covered that verse in Ephesians. Mature manhood. What God is doing in me is He's maturing me from this, from being an infant to being a mature adult, to the fullness of the stature of the likeness of Christ. If that's what God's doing in me, surely that's what I should be doing with my children. Instead of chasing after and making all that thing an idol. It's exactly what we should be doing. First, be fruitful. Personal maturity. God is concerned about you. You matter to God, but children also matter to God. And that's the second part of be fruitful, is God wants you to be fruitful, to be raised up from being an infant into maturity. Spiritual maturity bears fruitfulness in your life, and then you begin to mentor, then you begin to share, then you begin to multiply that into the next generation, which can include your biological children, it should do, but also the family of God. And so basically, this is discipleship, modeling who you are becoming. Parenting is about modeling who you are becoming. Who are you becoming? The fall, you ate the apple, you bit into the forbidden fruit, you lost something. God wants to restore the glory. He wants to restore the image bearing of God in your life first. And then He says, now I'm going to produce so much, like Kelsey said, there's overflow. Stop damming it up. Open it up. Let the presence of God, let the grace of God, let the compassion and the mercy, the forgiveness, the protection, the everything about God's nature overwhelm you so that you can begin to invest it into your children. Parents, help your children learn what it means to grow up in community. That means when you go to life group at someone else's house, you don't climb all over the furniture. Help your children see why that's unhelpful to climb and all over the furniture of someone else's house. This is real. This is where the gospel actually begins to affect the way you behave. It's why we bring our children to life group. And we don't make it all about Johnny. Oh, no, he's got a big exam next week. He's got to sleep. He's got to, you know, it's like, No, we go to life group because we know the importance of life group. We want to be with God in His people and to see and observe what God is doing in my life. Don't force your kids and drag them to life group because you don't even want to be there, because they're catching that. But if you want to be there, then take your kids along with it, because they will grow up with the same heart of loving community and being with God's people. Let's pull the masks away and stop being, what's the word? Hypocrites. Stop being hypocrites. God doesn't like hypocrisy. Bring your children to church. Often, it says, don't neglect meeting together. We meet together not because the pastor is taking roll call. We get together because we worship in God's house together and hear testimonies of what God's doing in God's people. And so we bring our children here. We bring our children to Throwdown Thursdays. We bring them to times when we have prayer together. We teach them not to climb over the furniture because we don't climb over the furniture. We teach our children how to clean up the toddler's room and the mom's room. It's not just moms in there. I'm not picking on moms. There should be dads in there too. But we're modeling something. We don't leave it in a pigsty. We actually, this is our home. This is God's family and this is a home. What about the next people that are coming in? Do they want to find it like this? No, Johnny, let me help you. Come, it's good to clean up. All the signs are telling us. Look, there's a nice little rhyme there. Have you even seen the rhyme? Moms and dads, go read them. We put it on the back of the door. We put it all over the place there. It's like, this is the outworking of what it means to actually why I do what we do. Not law, not legalism, but I'm filled with the grace of God. I'm overflowing with compassion and wanting to help other people come to Christ. Cindy and Larry, I wonder if you could stand. Just Larry went off, I think. Cindy's there. Just quickly stand, Cindy. Thank you. Where's Larry? He's around. Okay, there he is there at the back. Larry and Cindy, thank you, Cindy. You can sit. Their life group is at Door of Hope. Door of Hope is a bunch of children who've had not the perfect opportunities that you and I have had in home. And so what they're doing here is they've got a son, Joel, yes, but they are investing into other spiritual children. In Door of Hope. This is not, they're not getting paid for that. They spend lots of money, their own money, doing what they do. But they believe, actually, they have something to give into the lives of other children in the life of this church that they can benefit from, because they want them to become the best original intended person that God wants them to be. That's why they do what they do. So this is not just about your nuclear biology family. Very important, yes, but not restricted there. It's actually, there's far more that God wants to do. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure about your relationship with God. I think that's a warning sign, because God doesn't leave you wondering whether you're actually adopted or not. You get a completely new identity. There's no schizophrenia and uncertainty. You become a child of God. You either are a child of God or you're not yet a child of God. Maybe something of what Jesus has done for you. He's died for you on the cross so that you can have freedom and a relationship with God. That's it. So when you believe and trust in Jesus, you get adopted into his family. You become a child of God and you get a new identity. I'm going to ask you, if that's you, is do not leave this place. Don't rush off and go and do the things that you normally do. Is you come and rush to the front here. One of us will hang around and we would love to pray with you to help you respond to what God is already doing in your heart. Would you do that? Would you do that? Don't leave it. You've got a choice and we would love to lead you in that prayer. But for the rest of us, you've probably messed up already. Welcome to the club. But maybe you've got some regrets about the way in which you've parented, or you've still got some pain and some shame and some hurt around how you were parented. Is God wants to minister to you this morning. So I wonder if we could just put a bit of, it's like having a musician here, just because God is the God who restores. He's the God who gives you a second chance. Some of you have been poorly parented because you had imperfect parents. And I'm going to ask you not to blame. I'm going to ask you not to stay in the place of self-pity. But I'm going to ask you to actually activate a conscious choice to ask God for his help. We need God's help like never, ever, ever before in our nation around this thing of broken families, parents that are absent, missing, clueless. It's through the church that the manifold wisdom of God is revealed to the powers and the principalities. And so that means we as the church should be modeling and helping those who are struggling. But that doesn't mean we are all without struggles. I really do want to make an opportunity right now to pray for those who've got regret, for those that have messed up, for those who just, maybe you've got a bit of guilt. Maybe God is just busy working and saying, actually, my son or my daughter, I want you to know this is the way I see you. This is the way I accept you and affirm you. You are my favorite. In God's eyes, his children are all his favorites. You, it's personal. So Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning as imperfect parents who were raised by imperfect parents who are imperfect, and the circle of life keeps going. That puts us in a position of extreme need of your intervention into our lives. For the things we've done wrong, for the words that have been spoken over us in our past, we know you give us a new future, but we still bring the past into our present. And you want us to deal with it. You're wanting for us to open the door, to allow you to come in and to bring healing. So Holy Spirit is here. just in your thoughts and in your mind, I would encourage you. Maybe he's reminding you of some things. He's wanting you to present them to the Father. God the Father is saying, my son, my daughter, present them to me. Tell me. He already knows, but he wants to meet with you. And when we do that, when we surrender, when we hand those things over to him, he comes in and he brings healing. And he brings restoration. And his peace begins to rest upon our anxiety and our anxiousness. Allow God to come in and do that right now. Don't harden your heart. Don't stiffen your neck. Open your mouth and in your way, just ask the Holy Spirit to come in and to help you. Father, I ask that you would open our eyes as a church to encourage everybody in this area of being fruitful and multiplying into the lives of those around us. How many people come across our paths every day? Just a word, just a look or a glance, a smile, an encouragement. Zayesha, you did that with us. You never walked past without acknowledging us. You found us. And so we worship you this morning. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that it's through your finished work on the cross, your death, and your resurrection that we can have life. And it's for freedom that you have set us free. Help us to walk in freedom. Help us to experience freedom in our families, in our parenting, with our children and our friends around us and the others in the life of this church. May we be people who invest and give away what you've given to us. Thank you for the privilege of not only having our own biological children, but being able to invest into the lives of so many. Many, many stories of lives that have been changed and impacted because you've done something in our obedience. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.